We read that they went to Galilee, and verse 16 of the last chapter of Matthew. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And some think that was the mountain where he gave that famous Sermon on the Mount, somewhere near Tiberias, near the Sea of Galilee. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end," or the close, the telos, the finish of this particular age of history in which we are living now. So Jesus, this same Jesus, that's why we continue to say he's present to us. He's with us because of his promised that that is the case, whether we feel like that's the case sometimes or not. I think the thing I'd like to remind people of today is that this is a world changing event. It has cosmic proportions, and yet beyond that, it's sending out ripples of change right across the world as we know it now, just as we speak. It's not the COVID-19 effects that are really the great thing that's happening in the world. The great thing that's happening is that Christ himself is bringing to the human race the good news of his resurrection. It does affect us all, and the importance of it, we hear in Matthew there, is to be communicated to all the nations of the world. Having been dead and buried, Jesus of Nazareth has amazingly defeated death. That's nothing any of us have ever had the opportunity to do and the power to do. But he himself didn't rot in the grave. He didn't lie forever in that dark tomb, as Kath reminded us. He rose again, and whatever happened in those early hours of Sunday morning, we know that something happened, and the Father raised him to life by the power of his Spirit. And we often get a bit confused about the stone being rolled away, but he rose from the grave prior to the stone being rolled away. That was simply moved so that those early witnesses could see that the tomb was empty. The resurrection of Jesus, the power that he has now, is what the Bible has called the power of an indestructible life. Jesus of Nazareth has overcome death once for all, and we'll see that when the close of this age fully comes. Beyond that, we will see that his resurrection power is that which has restored all things, redeemed the creation. And there's probably two things we can just generally think and hope in. One is the resurrection of the body. The promise is to have a new body like Christ's resurrection body. There were some changes about his body once he'd been raised from the grave. And the other thing that goes with that, of course, is the redemption or the renewal of the whole of the creation. And Jesus once referred to that. You can read it in Matthew 19:28. He once referred to that as the regeneration. He said, in the regeneration, you'll have these certain responsibilities. So that's what we anticipate. And we keep saying this is public truth for the nations of the world to know and to redirect their thoughts accordingly. When this good news of Jesus alive was first seen by Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that was seen, interestingly, two women who were the first communicators of this great truth. They told of that, they went into Jerusalem, they then told this great news, and people went to Galilee and beyond. And as that message moved out, it moved down into Africa in the early years. It moved out across what we now know as Europe, and it also moved eastward from those particular places where the gospel first began, then eventually ending up through India and other places, and out here to Australia many generations later. People soon worshipped Jesus as the true God from God, and as a true human being as well, as the one who was given and is given all authority in heaven and over the whole of the earth. So it was near Tiberias that they worshipped him, but some doubted. I take some encouragement in that, because when people first hear of the resurrection, it is so contrary to what we've seen and understood about life. It just seems unbelievable. And many people and nations still have their doubts. You may be listening today and just say, I actually doubt this. Many totally disbelieve it. And the resurrection of Jesus, though, is so crucial that it means both life to faith, and Jesus said the condemnation of evil is also involved in this resurrection. He once said, now, as before he approached the cross, now is the judgment of this world. And so the whole future really lies and is bound up with this resurrection. I'd like to read to you just a few words that some people learn in their early days at Sunday school as a sort of memory verse, John chapter 5. Jesus said, very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he's given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. So there's a judgment, there's a resurrection of the whole of humanity. And of course the great news is that in Christ your sins are forgiven, and you get to participate. You stand before God forgiven and reconciled and part of, ready to go in the age to come. And that is why we continue to say, have faith. Just simply put your trust in God and anticipate that. Look forward to that. It changes the way we approach everything. It was interesting, one father once, when he saw Jesus' power at work, he had a little troubled son, and he was in an impossible situation. His little son was always falling down, and he wanted him to be healed. And it seemed impossible, and Jesus said to him, no, it's not impossible. And the man responded with these words. He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so he was saying, I actually need a bit more help even to get over the line of truly believing. Anyway, Jesus healed his little son, and I'm sure that man went on to honour and know and looked forward and anticipate what Jesus would yet do. In recent days, we've witnessed and been part of a fairly anxious world, restructuring its whole manner of life, its economics, and here in Australia, we've done that to accommodate ourselves to a pandemic virus. In contrast, when the news of Jesus' resurrection reached people and nations, they were filled with not an infection, but an infectious joy from the Spirit of God, that something more profound than what was all around them, decay and death and difficulty, something more profound broke in upon their lives. They restructured their life and their thinking, and they became very hope-filled wherever they went and throughout the world. This same Christ indwells human hearts today. And when we say that, we don't mean he's absent or this is just a symbol or an idea we're talking about. We mean that his resurrection body, by his Spirit coming to us, means that he himself, his mind and heart, indwell us, and we, there's a mystery there, indwell him who is risen and will yet see at the close of the age face to face. Our hearts have become set upon a new way of life, eager to see God's great plan unfold for the creation. Many people are pessimistic about where the world's headed, but Jesus has come that we might actually reorient our understanding and have hope and anticipation, not a sort of doom and dark approach to things. Today, we should ponder again some of the words of the eyewitnesses, particularly here in 1 Corinthians 15:6. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. So there was quite a crowd of people over there at Galilee, and their witnessing of all of this was part of that movement that then went right across the nations of the world. Centuries later, the news is still arriving in various places, and there are numbers of communities of people, tribal groups, say in Africa, and in various parts of different continents where that news is still getting through, and some places it needs to come afresh, like here in Australia. But I was very interested that when the news arrived to a group of people in Africa called the Maasai people, they'd heard first of Christian faith and they'd had a hospital built there and seen some good things the church had done, but not many of them really believed. Until one man said, look, I'd like to sit down and teach you the truth of Christian faith. Well, he did that for 1 year. And at the end, the tribal chief said, we believe this. We'd all like to be baptised into that truth. They were a group of people from the Maasai, and a book was written about that group by Vincent Donovan called Christianity Rediscovered. And it was so significant to them. Firstly, they laughed when they heard of the death of Jesus. They thought, oh, what a ridiculous story. The chief, leader of the story dies. This is not a good ending. But then they were staggered and amazed when they went on to hear that, no, he rose from the dead. So they, rather than just repeating the creed the way we'd put it together in English and other ways, they rewrote their own creed. And I'd like to just share a couple of the words the way they understood and proclaimed it to their local people. They said of Jesus in this creed, he was rejected by his people, tortured, and nails and hands and feet were nailed to a cross. And he died. He lay buried in the grave, but the hyenas did not touch him. And on the third day he rose from the grave. He ascended to the skies, he is the Lord. I guess that was what they understood mostly happened to people as they were buried. The hyenas came along and dug them up, and that was the scattered bones that they saw from time to time. But we learn, though, Jesus' body didn't rot in the grave. No corruption actually entered his body. He was dead, and he lay there, but the mystery of the Spirit is that he rose from that grave, never to die again. I once said that to a young lad in Tasmania, and he came up to me after and he said, when Jesus died, yes, and rose again, yes, he said, when did he die the second time? And I said, he didn't. Well, his jaw nearly hit the floor. He couldn't believe it. Suddenly he was faced with the fact that he was present here and was risen from the grave. The Lordship of Jesus as the leader of a new human race, forgiven, reshaped for life, is the hope of all creation. There's a lot of cynicism in our world today. This virus thing's brought on the cynicism big time, but cynicism, pessimism, nihilism, that's a kind of just a dread hopelessness. Humanism and, to be topical, Marxism, they're all redundant. Christ is leading a new humanity, and we're called to take up that kind of a love that's unafraid, that shakes off fear, and that looks to Christ to lead and guide us in the way of our lives. Australia, China, The USA, Italy, Spain, India, Nigeria, New Zealand, Iran and Brazil, to name just a few nations, we're all many peoples, but we're all being called upon to believe the good news, to respond anew in faith and hope to the resurrected Lord of life and the Lord of death. May you do that this Easter weekend. Not a lot else to do. If you could do that, you will find your life strangely transformed. You'll find that the belief may even sort of come and go a little bit, but you'll find yourself engaged with the risen Lord. You'll find that in his own power and own way, he comes to you personally, so you know that it's him, the risen Lord, and you can trust that he'll guide you in a way that's suitable to your life. You don't have to become a religious nutter of any sort. You can just become a true human being and follow Christ. So may God add his blessing to our message today, and we want to commend to you these things. And no matter where you are, whatever office of life or work that you've been called to, may God help you in that. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, knowing this, your labour, your purpose, your life is not in vain, not pointless, but filled with meaning that you'll ultimately see. Let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? Spirit of the living Lord, who suffers for all humanity on that Good Friday, but overcomes the powers of evil, the powers of corrupt political systems and religious systems, we thank you that you're the living one, the true one, and the gracious God who leads us on with hope. Fill us anew, we pray today, with a genuine spirit that we too might be of good cheer as you told those disciples to be. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.